Welcome everybody to the Georgetown Council meeting of Tuesday the 26th of August. We'll start with the acknowledgement of country. Georgetown Council acknowledges the Palawar people from the Litaramirina tribe from Port Dalrymple as traditional custodians of the land. We honour and give thanks for the caring and of country, seas and skies of Kinimartha, Tikinta and surrounds. We pay respect to the elders past, present and future, for they hold the memories, traditions, culture and hope of the Pākehā people in Litaruita. At this point I'd like to ask Councillor Heather Ashley and Councillor Heather Barwick to say a few words on two recent friends of our community and our council in Doug Burt and Wally Barrett. Councillor Heather Ashley.
I'd just like to offer my condolences to Doug's family, friends and colleagues. Doug was a councillor from 1999 until 2011, and in that time he was elected to the position of mayor. From 2005 until 2011. Then Doug was elected to council again in 2014 to 2018. What I'd like to say about Doug is he was just an all-round good bloke. And he was liked by many. Fail Doug Burt.
Thank you, Heather. Councillor Archer would like to say some words around Wally Barrett, long-serving member of our community and council employee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like, at the end of what I am about to say, invite the gallery to also have a minute's silence for the gentlemen that we are speaking about today. Anthony Douglas Barrett, who would have thought that Wally, lovingly known as Wally the Worker, out of Anthony, I don't know where that came from, but he was always known as Wally the Worker. Wally was born as Anthony Douglas Barrett on the 26th of June 1953. He joined the Georgetown Council on the 30th of November 1992 and due to ill health resigned on the 18th of October 2021. 29 years service Wally the Worker gave to this council and this town. He was a proud winner of the Golden Gloves, often talked about winning the Golden Gloves. He talked about trying to go into the Olympics, but didn't quite get to that avenue, which would have been lovely if he had done. In what year, I'm not sure that he won the Golden Gloves. I don't know if anyone does know that round the table, but I don't know what year it was, but he quite often talked about it. I believe that he was also at the last boxing tribute, and the young girl was the young girl of Livingston, is it right? April Little John. He was there and watched her win the gold medal, the silver medal, which he proudly came in today and showed the council. He was at that function, and I think that it may have been a week or so after that that he passed away, which was very sad. Wally was a friend to all, and I'm sure he was someone that this community will never forget, and we often talk about him. He was a true gentleman. Can we now have a minute's silence and rest in peace, Wally? I love you dearly. Bye.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on. Audio recording of council meetings. The public's advised that the council policy, it is council policy to record the proceedings of meetings of council in on digital media to assist in the preparation of the minutes and to clarify any queries relating to the minutes that are raised during a subsequent meeting under the section confirmation of minutes. The recording does not replace the written minutes, and a transcript of the recording will not be prepared. All meetings of the council shall be digitally recorded as provided by the Regulation 43 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, except for the proceedings of meetings or parts of meetings closed to the public in accordance with Regulation 17.2. In accordance with the requirements of Council's audio recording of council meetings policy, Georgetown Council 1, members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of council meetings. All documents presented and recordings, audio of this meeting are made available to the public in accordance with the above Act and Notice and the standard applicable provisions of the Local Government Act 1993 and Local Government Meetings Procedures Regulations of 2025. We'll now move on to, to those who are present. Apologies at 1.1, Mayor Keyser is currently on leave and Councillor Orr is an apology for today. In attendance, we have Councillor Barwick, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, and myself in the acting mayor's role. From staff, we have General Manager Shane Power and his Senior Executive Support and Governance in Louise Dickinson, and assisting her today is Molly Crane, the Executive Assistant. We've got corporate and community. James Anderson, the Manager of Corporate and Finance, is standing in for Cheryl Hyde, who's on leave. We've got Andrew McCarthy. Is Andrew McCarthy here today? Andrew McCarthy's an apology today for infrastructure and development. And Rick Dunn is here for organisational performance and strategy. The first item is confirmation of minutes, an item 2.1, if we have a mover. Councillor Harris moved. Seconded by Councillor Ashley. Okay, Councillor Harris.
Nothing further to add, just to accept the minutes. Thank you.
Councillor Ashley.
As Councillor Harris said, we'll just accept the minutes.
Is there any comments? Questions?
If I may ask a question,
Councillor Barwick.
On page 26 of the attachments, which is under the item of annual report 10.3 of the audit panel, it does. I'm just going to question where it says requests an independent internal audit of council sponsorship and grants programs be included in the 2025-26 internal audit schedule. Now, does that mean what grants is that? Is that the grants that are over or up to the value of 20,000 and over, all grants or specific grants?
My understanding is that it's all grants and it's the process. So to be included in your internal audit schedule, we haven't done that for a while, so it's basically go over all of them and
that's
make sure they're being...
That's for next year's grant or this year's grant? One just gone or the next one?
The next one.
The next one coming up?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Or General Manager, comment?
Sorry, through the Chair. It's actually on grants that are already being issued, and that report or that order has been commissioned and will be made available to Council very, very soon.
25-26, it says here.
Yeah. In the audit schedule, but it's looking backwards at events that we've already had.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Any other comments, clarifications? No, we'll return to the mover. In Councillor Harris.
Nothing further to add.
Okay. Put that one to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. And that would be unanimous. Thank you. There are no late items. Item 3. Item 4, declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest from councillors? There'd be a no. Public question time is 0.5. 5.1 is public question time procedure. The period set aside for public question time will be at least 15 minutes. Questions given on notice will be addressed first. Once questions on notice have been addressed, persons who have registered their interest to ask a question will be called to do so in order in which they are registered. Persons attending council meetings will have the opportunity to register their interest to take a question without notice prior to the commencement of the meeting. Council staff will be on hand to assist with this process. Participants cannot ask more than two questions in a row with a maximum of 2 minutes per question. If a person has more than two questions, they'll be placed at the end of the queue and may, if time permits, ask further questions once all other persons have had an opportunity. Persons who have not registered their interest to ask a question will be given an opportunity to do so following all of those that have registered. All questions must be directed to the chairperson. For further information on Council public question time and rules, refer to Public Question Time Policy GTC 13. 5.2, public questions on notice. We have none on notice, but we have Deborah Rainbow at what? At 5.3. Public question time. Okay, so at 5.3, we've got interest from Debbie Rainbow. We'd like to make a comment, ask a question. Mrs. Rainbow. I haven't been provided with that.
Okay. Sorry, this is Scribble. Good afternoon.
Hello.
My question reflects on page 16.
Just before we start, I'll just record the time. So the time is 1:13 p.m. Thank you. Go for it, Mrs. Rainbow.
Okay. My question today is based on page 16 of today's agenda. Agenda in the answer about the intended new aquatic centre. My question, why does the council insist in visiting and using the cities that have been named as comparisons, as a reference point, as they have a population of 3 to 21 times larger than what's in this municipality, and also have satellite cities and suburbs around them that could be consumer base. Surely the design and businesses within this centre should be based on the consumer and use of base needs of this community.
Thank you. I think the, and I probably can respond, and I'll ask the General Manager to follow up after this, but I think the rationale and the reason for the council laws doing the tour of other facilities to actually look at the quality and the type and design and style, and it wasn't actually to build something at the same size as these other complexes. Some of the complexes we went to were $120 million complexes, and it was to look at the different designs and the different styles that they were, and how we might be able to take some benefit from what they had already constructed and put into our community. So it wasn't based around the size of what they were and their communities.
Surely those businesses would be based on the consumer.
No doubt. No doubt.
The largest is 250,000 people.
No doubt.
7,000.
No doubt.
Okay, thank you.
Have you got anything further to contribute?
Thank you, Chair. Only to add that the Aquatic Centre being built in Georgetown has been designed with this community in mind, so that the amount of people that live here, the demographic of the people that live here, and a demographic of the people that we hope to attract moving forward, as well as the catchment area in which we think this facility may attract. So that has been done with regard to our size of community. And we'll add that there have been some Tasmanian examples that the council has visited as well, including the Oatlands facility.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? We've been presented one from Lorraine Wharton. You can go first, though, Mr. Jett.
Through you, Mr. Chair. 22nd of August, Rick Dunn, Director of Strategy, Performance and Development, and myself communicated by phone as to where the council were at releasing details of the council performance survey. Through Rick, I would imagine. I just need some clarification as to how the survey is to be released. And please, can you explain the strategy, as I believe the details, some of the details are going to be drip-fed to the community? So that troubles me with that regard. I have had a lot of exposure to corporate and business surveys during my professional career. And also, due to past releases from this council, I'm also concerned that the survey will be heavily redacted.
Through the chair to Rick Dunn.
Thanks, Mr. Judd. The matter around the community survey has been discussed amongst councillors, and we had a conversation around how that information will be provided to the community. There's no intention to redact anything that is relevant to the survey. There are comments, for example, that are immaterial to the survey. The intent of the survey, which was to test the community's temperature around how well we are tracking, things that the community would like to see in the future, things that the community would like to see improved. In terms of the data around the questions, the percentage, the responses, and the summary of the thread of the conversation and the themes that start to emerge, that will be provided to the community in full. Over time, because it is quite a large document, it may be fed out to the community in sections, so it's, you know, you can absorb a section, there'll be the areas where there'll be the highlights, and then there'll be the data around who responded, you know, the makeup of the gender and the age and that type of information, and then there'll be specific blocks of information that'll be sent out in newsletters, through social media, and on our council website, that we can point to around the exact finite detail that's contained in the responses.
Yeah, okay, that's fine, but don't underestimate the intelligence of the average Georgetown person, so I can't see why you wouldn't send it out in block.
Well, we can too, it's just that we thought it might be more readable, acceptable. We can do that. And we'll certainly consider your feedback today. I mean, that is entirely appropriate. What was presented today could be presented in its entirety. We just thought it might be easier to be absorbed by the community if we sent it out over a 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks. But certainly we'll take your comments on board, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've got a number of questions here from Mrs. Wharton. If you'd like to come to the podium. And I'll probably need to lean on the General Manager to answer some of these.
My question's to do with the answers to my questions from the July meeting. After reading the response to my questions regarding the Three Trails project at the last meeting, I have concerns with the public consultation process again. The Colonial Storytelling Trail did eventually come back to the March 2023 council meeting with a few community submissions printed in the attachments, and despite quite a list of concerns listed by the council officer, council voted to endorse the plan as presented and approve the general manager to scope the project and include in council's advocacy plan for future funding opportunities. Incidentally, the colonial period began in 1804 and ended in 1901, and a lot happened in Georgetown after that, so a heritage trail label might be a bit more appropriate. The Kanamaluka storytelling plan that I responded to in August 2022, 3 years ago, has not come to the council like that, but has evidently been approved as part of the advocacy plan slipped through in December meeting last year. My first question, does that mean that everything in that long list of projects that I've not seen mentioned anywhere else in the advocacy plan from December has not been approved without coming back to the council with the responses from the public?
There you go for it.
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you for your question, Mrs. Wooten. But first, don't read too much into the detail of the current colonial trail proposal. It is very much a conceptual plan that was put together for the purposes of advocacy. It will, as I've committed to you previously, it will certainly be consulted with much more broadly should we get the funding to progress on that particular project, including with the Georgetown Historical Society. So I wouldn't be helping on the name. The names will be part of a marketing campaign. A hell of a lot of work has got to be done prior to any movement on the ground, if you like, so including broader consultation. With regard to your question specifically on the advocacy plan, it has been adopted by council. Those costings have been provided at the time as being relevant, but they'll need to be revised over time. What that document does is it authorises officers to pursue funding opportunities, whether it be through election commitments and political cycles, grants, both run through government, philanthropic organisations, or indeed some of our industrial partners as well. So that's what that document allows us to do. There's a number of projects that have been listed there. Some have been endorsed by council in other programs, such as 10-year road upgrade programs, as one example. And others have been had more public consultation than others, granted. But most of those you'll see, if they're, unless they're a road job or something like that, will require further public consultation.
My concern is that there hasn't been any public consultation about a lot of those things. I've never heard of them until I looked at that. As soon as these plans are approved, they seem to disappear off the website, and the majority of the community, especially newer residents for the last 3 years, have no idea that these and other plans even exist, and they wouldn't know where to find them in the attachments to the to certain meetings. So my second question is, in the interest of transparency, etc., can both these plans, the colonial and the Kanamaluka plans, and the Macquarie Street redevelopment plan and any other such plans into the future be placed on the council website and left there so that people can see and refer to them? Because we haven't seen them since they came to the council. And I talk to people about these things. They've never heard of them. So, you know, it's 3-4 years since they came to the council. Is that possible?
Through the chair, absolutely appreciate that, Mrs. Wooten. Users of our website will know that it's a new website that's been upgraded, and I do confess that not all plans have been uploaded on that, and those ones that you've mentioned we can certainly upload, noting that they are conceptual plans and not not ready for construction or development plans.
But it's what people need to see, what's being considered. I'm considering...
No, I take that on board, and I've just committed that those plans will be uploaded.
Thank you.
But noting, as I said to you, that they're not ready for construction, they're advocacy pieces.
I think we'd probably understand that they're in effectively in draft form, aren't they? So, I have two questions here on from Kent, John Glisson, if you'd like to. One of them was ANZSOG.
Well, I'll ask the other one first, if you don't mind.
Yep.
I see in the agenda on page 43, at the last workshop, you were discussing main road stormwater impact. Can you enlighten us what the issue is and why it needs to come to the workshop?
I personally can't, because I'm not the director of infrastructure, but I'm probably better off push that one back through to the general manager as well, unless we've got someone that's in.
Well, you were there,
Andrew.
So.
Beg your pardon?
You were at the workshop.
Yeah, I was.
You didn't take any notice? Oh, okay.
I certainly did. I was.
Okay, sorry. But
so I think what you're saying, Chair, is we'll take that one notice. We don't have the director responsible or the engineer responsible here to talk about any technical details, but the drainage was certainly discussed.
It's not a 5-minute project to describe to you, John, and there's probably stuff in there that I would consider to be commercial in confidence that we discussed at the workshop, so I'd probably prefer that to be someone to come to a report to you from someone like the Director of Infrastructure. Thank you.
Okay, page 148 of the agenda, General Manager's matters of involvement. I note there are about 7 or 8, maybe even 9 occasions ANZSOG is mentioned. When you look at ANZSOG, it refers primarily to executive leadership programs. Can you inform me exactly what course or program is being undertaken and what the benefits are to the ratepayers and what the overall cost of the program is going to be?
No, I won't, but I'll pass on to the person that is actually doing the course. So.
Fine.
Through the chair, the general manager.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. There's a couple of things I'll say, but I'm going to preface the first thing by saying that I won't be getting into contractual motions or matters in an open public meeting. That's dealt with under Section 17 under the Local Government Meeting Regulations. It is a course I'm participating in. Yep.
So what's the course?
It's Master of Public Administration.
Master of Public.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And that's the $62,000 course?
Are you paying just the third question?
Is that your third question?
Well, it's part of the first one.
Yeah. As I said, you won't be getting into... you can do your own homework on that.
I have, and it looks to me like the $62,000.
I'm going to pull you up before we go into contract obligations.
But it's not up to you to pull me up.
No,
he's chairing the meeting.
It's my contract. I will say to you is that...
Point of order. Deputy, you chair the meeting, not the general manager. Thank you.
I've allowed, through the chair, the general manager to answer the question, and he's actually explained it. Mr. Glisson, why he won't, and I'm happy to stop it there because we won't go any further into contractual matters for the general manager. It is private and confidential, so it won't be elaborated on any further.
So you've agreed to him doing a $62,500 course?
I'm not elaborating any further.
That's the price on the course. That's the price.
Not elaborating any further.
Plus the travel, plus accommodation, plus. Going to cost the ratepayers a lot of money, and we still don't know what we're going to get for it because you won't answer the question.
Thank you. Just another question from Deborah Rainbow. No.
You've got number 3 from
Lorraine. So another question here from Lorraine Wooten. If you'd like to come back up, Lorraine.
I notice that the quarterly report's included in this meeting, but I wonder why is there no financial or capital works progress report as usual included in the quarterly report this time?
I could probably answer that one, and it's each year that final one goes into the annual report, and that's when that will be presented. But if the General Manager would like to clarify any further.
Only to add through the Chair that the end of financials are done in a timely fashion for the quarterly report, and every year if you go back you'll note that the final quarter does not include the financials, it is included in the annual report. So our audited statements will go in there, but not in the last quarter.
Right. So it'd be 6 months since we got the last one.
Yeah, would you like me to defer to our finance manager?
I was just surprised that it wasn't in there.
The financial year closes out on the 30th of June, but certainly not the expenses and the processing of payments. It extends for weeks past that.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions from the public gallery? Mrs. Wooten? Mrs. Rainbow?
I noticed on the way here and travelling around this morning, there's a lot of flooded footpaths, gutters, potholes, edges of the road. Is there a council time frame when you actually clean up the roads and the guttering?
I would say that it would be on a routine work schedule, and those things are done as they're required. If there's something that is noticed, then there's a opportunity to put in a service request, and that'll be actioned fairly promptly. So, comfortable for that to happen.
But just it's come quite common fact that every time we get an easterly rain, which is usually quite heavy, that the streets are flooded and the gutters are flooding, making it really hard for us pedestrians. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Are there any other questions? State your name.
Helen Flanagan.
Helen Flanagan, thank you.
Georgetown resident.
Yep.
It's just regards the pool. With the widthways crossfall, I chatted with Jim Corbett this morning, the Sport and Leisure Solutions guy, and just requesting from him where a pool of the dimensions, specifications we're putting in, is located. and there isn't one at our five lanes. There's one down the Bellarine Peninsula, which is eight lanes. So the way you spoke at a couple of functions, I had the impression that it's becoming quite common, whereas in fact we're going to be leading the way with this small speck. So is everybody aware of that?
Yes, we are.
So is it about supervision that you're sort of doing this design? Because to me, you're always going to have lane ropes up, because you're going to be going from a 1 metre in two lanes down a 0.5 metre till you get to your 1.5. So, I mean, you're not going to be able to have little kids in that 1 metre section without having them sectioned off through the full 25 metres, where they could end up just gradually ending up over at that 1.5. So, I mean, you're going to have 25 metres worth of that to be supervised, unless you've got a lane rope all the time.
I understand that there'll be a lane rope in place most of the time.
We'll have to be all the time.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Oh, I just hope you know what you're doing. Yeah, cheers.
Thank you. All right. Councillor Mason, do you have something to say?
Yeah, that 1 metre lane is really for swimming lessons. You can actually swim it and have swimming lessons at the same time.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to response from questions from previous public question time. There are a number of items there from page 11 through to page 17, and then onto the General Manager's declaration on page 18, item number 6. Can you speak to that?
Yes, thank you. Through the Chair, I just want to bring it to the attention of the gallery and those listening in, excuse me, that item 11 on page 63, the officer's recommendation officers at point two are recommending a change in the wording from provision to be changed to provide. And I'll mention that again when we get to that item, if you like, Chair. And Louise will make sure that the screen reflects the officer's recommendation, as I've just asked to be corrected.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move on to item 7, which is Planning Authority, and 7.1 is Development Application 2025-25 at 111 School Road, Pipers River, subdivision of two lots. Do we have a mover? And you'll find the motion on page 41, or you'll find the recommendation starts on page 38 through to the decision on page 41. Councillor Mason is the mover. And the seconder is Councillor Harris. Councillor Mason, go for it.
This subdivision is one lot into two lots. It's 41 pages of very fine detail, well documented by Justin Simons, and it passes all rules and regulations. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Harris.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I don't have a lot to actually add to any of the discussion apart from the fact that it is now started work over on the site. The contractor appointed has moved into the site, and I know this because he took his site cabins from the school at which I work and moved them a couple of hundred yards across the other side of the main road.
I think you might be on the wrong page, Councillor. This is the item that is 111 School Road, Pipers River subdivision.
Oh, I am. Wrong school. Sorry. I'll pass.
Okay. We shall now go. Does anybody have any debate or anything to contribute to the motion? Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. So obviously we make our decisions based on the recommendations and our knowledge of the planning rules and regulations, and we have discussed it at workshop. We do acknowledge there might be some genuine concern from some of the people that made representations, but unfortunately in this instance they could be discussed at another point in time, and they don't hold any weight in regards to this application, so I'll be supporting the application even though we have some genuine concerns from some residents.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers to the motion? For or against? No? I'll return it to the mover and Councillor Mason.
I'll put the motion, thank you, Mayor.
Put the motion. All those in favour? That would be unanimous. Thank you very much for your assistance, Justin. Next item you'll find on page 42, Office of the General Manager, 8.1 is Council Workshops for July and August. Do we have a mover? The motion can be found on page 44. A mover. Councillor Mason. And seconder, Councillor Lowe. Okay, Councillor Mason.
Just to receive the report, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, just to receive the report.
No worries. Are there any other speakers to or against the motion?
I just want to ask a question on page 43. It had guest solicitor Paige Seeger. I didn't realise the gentleman sitting up there was a legal beaver.
No, I believe...
Representing the King thing.
I believe you've mistaken. We did have a phone hookup with a gentleman when we spoke to him, Councillor Bowick.
Yeah, but it says
the man
yes,
that was sitting at the table wasn't a lawyer.
Yeah, No, but it doesn't read like that, you see. It reads like we had a guest here, and it could have been phone hookup.
Okay.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, yep.
That's
on board.
I'm just pointing that out.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? No, we'll return that to Councillor Mason.
I put the motion, Mayor, thank you.
Okay, all those in favour? Unanimous. Thank you very much. 8.2 is the quarterly report between April and the 30th of June 2025. The decision would be, or Office of Recommendation, is on page 47. Do we have a mover? Councillor Mason again. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Ashley. Okay, Councillor Mason.
You've probably heard some discussion earlier in the meeting about this quarterly report lacking some detail and financial information. And that's basically because the last quarter, there's a lot of accounts to be settled. And the quarter is in the annual report. And it's a summary of all the finances and operations of the council.
Yeah, second, Councillor Ashley.
I just concur with Councillor May.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers to the motion? Seems there is not, we'll return it to the mover.
Thank you, Matt.
Okay, we'll put that one to the vote. All those in favour? Unanimous. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is the delegations register review at 8.3, and the motion can be found on page 50, our officer's recommendation. we shall, yeah, seek a mover. Councillor Lowe. And a seconder in Councillor Mason. Okay, Councillor Lowe.
Yeah, thank you. It's come back a couple of times because things have obviously changed within local government, and some new delegations were discussed, and we've highlighted them, and I have no concerns over any of the new proposed delegations, and I'm happy to move so.
Thank you. Councillor Mason.
And agree totally with Councillor Lowe. Thank you.
Lovely. Are there anyone else that would like to speak to the motion on the delegations? Councillor Bowie? No. It is on page 50, the... Well, you're looking through the attachments. Just waiting on Councillor Barwick finding her item in the attachments. Would you like to turn your microphone on, please, Councillor Barwick? Turn your microphone on, please.
I have concerns about on page 229 or page 3165, the discretionary permits where no representations have been received. I have concerns about the delegation allowing, if there were, it's at the bottom where there's a minimum of two councillors advising writing that they wish the decision to be made by council at a regular meeting. This is the one where the issue is to allow, I think, that we delegate the general manager where two or less representatives come in. I'm not happy about that, and we have to delegate that authority. If anyone has an objection against anything in the planning scheme, they have the right to be heard. In my mind, I was quite okay about it being if it was only the Tas Water or State Growth, if they were the only two objectors. I did not have an issue with that because they would follow it through until it was done right. But if a ratepayer, two ratepayers have an issue, then I think they have the right to be heard. I have a grave concern for that section of the Looper Act and a couple of other things on the Looper Act. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, anybody else? Councillor Harris, you have your microphone on?
I do, yes. Do you want it off?
Do you like to speak? No, or not? No.
No.
Are there any other councillors would like to comment?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I sort of sympathise a little bit with Councillor Barwick on that section 57, subsection 6, under Looper and the application of discretionary permits and how it's called in, how permits are called in. I'm just a bit worried about the mechanism as to how councillors are informed and aware and timelines about when they can be, when the general manager or the planning officer needs to be notified and what dates, and maybe we need to have something clear and in writing about that. That's really the only concern I've got. Thank you.
So, just for clarity, I'll read the conditional restrictions out. It says, delegate to the general manager where two or less representations are received, which are from a state authority or a regulated entity and are of a regulatory nature, or where representations do not contain any planning merits or matters relating to the planning scheme. This delegation may only be exercised following briefing of council at a workshop unless a minimum of two councillors advise in writing that they wish the decision to be made by council at a regular meeting. I think that gives opportunity for councillors to buy back in, and if they're aware of it, I think there probably needs to be, outside of this process, maybe a resolution of council to enact that. So maybe that's something that we can consider in future if this passes today.
If you'll allow some indulgence from myself. You're thinking on the same path as me, and let's say you miss a council workshop, but there's nothing actually listed in the workshop documents about, you know, we're going to receive a briefing on a planning item. It's just that information there, and I think we sort of understand and we can manage it some other way. Anyway, that's my two bobs. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers? If not, I'll return it to Councillor Lowe.
Yeah, thank you. I know we did discuss this one several times because obviously it took a lot for us to understand what it would mean, and we did get to see an example of that live play out earlier today when the motion for 111 School Road, is that the address, 111? School Road come forward when that was initially discussed at workshop, that under this discretion we decided to bring it to council for it to play out as intended. And also recall that there were some concerns around having to ring people that put in a positive representation and asking them to withdraw that, because then it would also mean that it would have to come to a council workshop. And it was to try and remove those unnecessary burdens, similarly to the state authority regulated entities. But I do appreciate that sometimes, yeah, that's a perfect example of where we might miss something. If you do miss a workshop and that information isn't forthcoming, that we'd need to understand what that would look like. But essentially the idea behind this isn't to hide anything, it's to ensure that we are presented with the documents that we need for the applications that have a consideration, and I still support that this delegation, when utilised, will be effective. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We shall put the motion then. Those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. So we have... what are your intentions, Councillor Ashton? Supportive of? Councillor Barwick? Okay, so we'll take you as against. All others for. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is 8.4, Policy Review, Georgetown Council C114, Use of the Common Seal. That's on page 51, and the officer's recommendation is on page 52 over the page. Do we have a mover? Councillor Mason. And do we have a seconder? No seconder. Councillor Ashley. Thank you very much. Councillor Mason.
I'll move the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Ashley.
Yeah, I agree with the officer's recommendation as well.
Thank you. Are there any others that would like to speak to the motion or against? There are... Oh, Councillor Barwick, are you
speaking? Mr Chairman, I think we have discussed this to the degree that it became a bit personal at the last workshop. The common seal is something that, if you look at the policy in the back of the document, not sure where that is, how many times we every so often give the seal over to be used, and we're told in after the event, but now it is now going to be, we're going to be told when they use the seal every month we will get an update. But we as a council, as far as I'm concerned, because we actually are the owners of the seal and should not delegate that out, should know prior to the seal going on, so that if we as a council around here say, well, look, we don't want that to happen, or let's go to the community on that, we've still got a say on what we have control of. Whereas this way, we get it, you know, it's we do get told every month, but we need to be informed prior, so we still have a bit of a say on what we control.
Thank you, Councillor Barwick. Are there any others that would like to speak on the matter? If not, I shall return it to Councillor Mason.
I put the motion, thank you.
Thank you. All those in favour? Would be Councillor Lowe, Councillor Harris, Councillor Archer, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Mason, Councillor Barwick. Against? Motion is in the affirmative. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is 8.5 on page 54, which is NRM North Association Group A membership. This report seeks Council's nomination of a representative to the NRM North Association Group A. Information's there in front. It is the officer's recommendation is to appoint a councillor as a Georgetown Council representative for NRM North Association Group A rep on the 24th of September, and appoints another councillor as a proxy.
Mr Chairman, I will move that Council appoints Councillor Harris as a Georgetown Council representative on NRM North Association Group A representative at the 24th of December 25 Annual General Meeting,
and associated meetings.
Thank you.
I am not moving our proxy.
Okay, no problem. Do we have a seconder? Moved Councillor Barwick, seconded by Councillor Mason.
Speaking to that, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Councillor House has been our representative continually through this process for quite a few years, and to he's never missed going. And we've never had a proxy before, and I don't believe we should be looking at putting a proxy in, because it's never been something that we've done until this year, and I just believe we leave it as it is and let Councillor Harris get on with his job. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mason.
Councillor Harris, we all know he's very well known around the traps all around Northern Tasmania and further afield, I might add. He's a great networker. He will make himself heard, as we all know, and he will serve the council's interests very well. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there, and I suppose before we go any further, Councillor Harris, do you accept the nomination?
I do accept the nomination.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to the motion? Councillor Lowe.
Yeah, at first I wasn't sure about not having a proxy nominated, but I do tend to think that perhaps it's not something a line we should go down at this point in time. And similarly, we have our own committees that we don't allow proxies on, so I think we either need to look at what we determine, I don't know if it's some form of process that we adhere to when identifying proxies, and because we don't have that, in this case, I think I'll support the motion.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Ashley.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Councillor Lowe. I think, you know, as far as proxies go, we need to get it down to either we do or we don't, but we don't have some proxies for some meetings and then not proxies for other meetings. I think we need to sort of get a bit of a line in the sand on that.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Archer.
Yeah, I think everybody's in agreement that Councillor Harris is pretty committed to it, and I think Councillor Lowe raises a good point about where we have proxies and don't. And this is probably one of them ones where you just have one representative on a clean, clear path, you know, doing the same rather than chopping and changing and so on with a personal opinion. So I think that's good. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers to the motion? For or against? No. We shall return to Councillor Barwick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure. Can I ask a question of the GM?
Of course.
I believe that this request for to be proxy was a request that from a councillor. We have. It's not a request from NRM to have a proxy.
Through the chair, the general manager.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for your question, Councillor. You're correct. The Councillor has approached myself and expressed an interest in being a proxy. Should be.
Thank you. That is the reason I was not being disrespectful, but we've never ever before been asked by NRM to have a proxy, so that's why I moved as I've moved today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll put that to the vote. Those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. Item 9 is infrastructure and operations. There are no items in that. Item 10 is corporate and community. 10.1, health and wellbeing committee. And the summary of this item is to amend the appointment of membership wording of the Georgetown Health and Wellbeing Committee and the confirmed minutes for 24th of June 2025.